Major funding for the connection is provided by Macromedia, the software company helping to redefine what the web can be. Available on the web at www.macromedia.com.
I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. What you're listening to is the world premiere of a new concerto composed by the noted musician Tan Dun. It is called The Map. And as it unfolds, it leads the composer back over 25 years and over many thousands of miles to his home province of Hunan in China. It is an intensely personal journey, like a private laneway off the old Silk Road, but linked as well. For the musical Silk Road project by the cellist Yo-Yo Ma was a key inspiration for this new composition. In fact, the cello solos that form such a key passage across this map were written expressly for Yo-Yo Ma. You can hear him strumming his 300-year-old cello. Connection listeners, the collaboration of Tan Dun and Yo-Yo Ma is one of the most creative and exciting partnerships in music today. And you don't actually need to be a regular of the concert hall to know that. Their work together on the film Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon earned both an Academy Award and a Grammy. In The Map, rural Chinese musicians join the Boston Symphony Orchestra in video clips with music that is written into the score. But this is more than fusion, more than curatorial preservation. Connection listeners, we'd like to hear from you. How well do the sounds of East and West work together? What do you hear in The Map? Our number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. My guests are the composer Tan Dun and the cellist Yo-Yo Ma. Welcome to both of you.
Wonderful to be here.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, congratulations. You guys have created quite a remarkable piece of music.
Thank you. We're just talking about how much sleep we got last night, because I think Tan was pretty
After
excited.
4 o'clock, my heart still bumping.
I'm not surprised. It was, barely 12 hours ago that you were standing on the stage at the Boston Symphony Orchestra getting your third or fourth or fifth standing ovation. A long wait, though. This project was a long time in the creation.
Yeah. Last night, two things. Two people come to me after performance. The young guy said, you know, this is our generation's voice, and this is revolutionary. He's a sort of a hippie way, and I was very touched, actually. Another person was very old, with tears, actually. He said, well, we should did this earlier. Oh, these two people really, I cannot forget them. I still feel, Yo-Yo, thank you so much. The only thing I can be regrets, I should do this earlier with you, maybe 20 years ago. Beautiful tradition, beautiful people.
Actually, I wonder whether this could have been done 20 years earlier, because I think there was so much technology involved in actually making this live experience possible. And I don't think we actually would have had the technology to do it. And I think what makes it special for me, not only working with Tan, but that that we brought something, the BSO brought something to the live experience that actually can't be experienced any other way. It really was the confluence of, you know, live musicians being there, and I think Tan solving a very interesting problem, which is how do you get indigenous music that is authentic and that works, and somehow we have to work with it, and he found it through the video form, through
it's a
film.
It's quite amazing. Last night I record, you know, 3 or 4 years ago when I start to think of this, I don't have a specific actually method how to realize this, to embody this high technologies, but actually without high technology, digital recording, visual and sound, and computerized editing and synchronizing format. Yeah,
I'm not sure that people actually understand the logistical nightmare that you cast for yourself, because when you score a piece of music, the musicians, the cellists, the violins, everybody gets to adapt slightly, watch the conductor, and each performance is slightly different. But when you have integrated the audio and the visuals of video into a performance the way you did last night, there's no room for movement there.
Yeah, certainly, yes, yes, yeah. And it's very unusual, you know. I was talking to Tony Frog at Artistic Administration by BSO. How brave they are, because actually that time 4 or 5 years ago, I have no idea what I'm going to do. And he has no idea what he committed to a piece. But the good thing is Yo-Yo and the BSO really committed to this. They trust. There's a big, huge kind of a love behind this tradition and wants to search and follow. It's on like a unearthly roots from a everyday music life. It's a wonderful theme.
Well, it's interesting that here Tan is a contemporary composer, living composer, and going into ancient traditions of his homeland. And I think it very well matches what the Boston Symphony has always done. And in that, you know, as an orchestra that plays classical music, but has always had a huge tradition of doing the premieres of some of the great works of the 20th century, it's continuing that tradition. So in a way, it is a mark of faith in us to, I'm the house cellist of the Boston Symphony, and to make this piece happen, but it actually also continues a long tradition.
I want to hear a little bit of last night's performance, but I need to describe something for our listeners before we do that. There was a huge projection screen suspended above the orchestra last night, and a spectacularly beautiful woman who was singing on that screen. She is of the Miao people, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes.
And what you're going to listen to is her singing on video, answered by Yo-Yo Ma's cello. I don't know how you got her to do this.
Actually, I was, Dick, I was trying to talk to Yo-Yo. When I met this girl and me, she's gorgeous. She's a rice planter. She's a farmer. And she's so beautiful.
I know. I fell in love with her, too.
Oh, yeah. Me, too. And she, there's a figure which is antiphony songs, a tradition which people sing to each other. Like Aboriginal Australian people, they don't have a map.
Oh, like
they're
the song
singing
lines.
Songs, sound line. Yeah, yeah, they're singing. They find the way, the directions. And the figure is a Miao people's tradition. They sing love to the air, and they expecting things to answer from the air. And I told when the special things is different from Bartok, although I influenced so much by Bartok to collect folk songs. And what I did is during the collecting songs, I already in the process of creating the piece.
So you were explaining to this singer,
yes,
that she would be answered by the cello?
Yeah, I told her, you will singing with the celloist. He is very, very famous. And he said, who? I said, Yo-Yo Ma. He didn't know that. And I said, he played a Crouching Tiger. He immediately opened the eye. I told her, Yo-Yo is not playing from other mountain. She's from other side of the earth. She cannot understand at all. Then I joined a big bow on paper. I said, this is earth. This is Hunan. There is a Boston. She certainly understand it. Then I told her, when you sing, Yo-Yo will listen to you. And when I ask her to listen, to imagine things from Yo-Yo, from Boston, and that's from the other side of Earth, she did a wonderful job.
Let's see if we can listen to it.
Yeah.
Yo-Yo Ma, the video will always be the same, but will you always play exactly the same responses to the singer?
Not really. You're correct technically, but actually the timing of where, when after she stops singing, there's quite a lot of leeway, and I'm always watching, and the way I've actually practiced this piece is deliberately not to practice it, so that always the response is to the moment and to whatever I see Tan might be doing my response is always different. And because it's interactive, she's listening, you watch her listening, and in a live situation I'm actually listening to her each time. It really feels, it's like the first time. It's rather an amazing stroke that Tan thought of to make that interactivity through video, but that actually bridges the vast geographic distance.
I was very touching every time, like you said, every time, first time. Every time we do that, I was holding the orchestra, everybody open eye. I was wondering, what she's doing now? Is she sleeping? Is she eating or farming? You know, it's very touching, that moment. And certainly in the concert hall, you feel this sort of antiphony harmony. You feel the waiting, yearning, longing. How could this longing be happening?
It becomes a very sensual exchange between the cello and the singer.
Yes.
I have to tell you something, that one of the things that I hope that a work like this can do is that it actually, as opposed to it being a piece of work, a product that once it's finished, it's done, I would hope that it actually makes people more curious about our world and to find out things. And for me, I want to go meet her.
You
I want to go and visit.
You would
visit.
Be both. We have to just pause to take a short break here. Our number is 1-800-423-8255. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection from NPR.
From Boston.
I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. Who among us hasn't plucked a blade of grass or a leaf and held it between our thumbs and tried to blow across it? This is Blowing Leaf, the second movement of Tan Dun's concerto, The Map. The movement features video and audio of a man blowing across leaves. Yo-Yo Ma and other instrumentalists answered the leaf's song. This man we're listening to is on video right now.
Yes. He is magical.
He moves from leaf to leaf on the branch that he's blowing.
Yeah, I remember in the recording, I pulled him, I said, I want to record you. He ran out for 10 minutes, didn't show up. I said, why? He said, I'm trying to find the leaves, fresh leaves, actually. He wants to play for me with the fresh leaves. Listen to this.
So you can hear him blowing, and then I'm answering him on the cello. That's him. That's me.
I cannot tell who's the cello, who's the lead.
What's so neat is that Tan can evoke the sounds of nature using nature instruments, of which actually I would say our instruments are also part of nature, but that we can have these imitations going on in cultivated sound, in natural sound, and there's an incredible blend.
I love nature. I think without nature, without people, I will be regretted to choose composing. But in this map, you can tell we both, Yo-Yo and I, really fall in love with this people, this landscape, and this is a huge tradition. I think that's also every second when we rehearse with BSO's member, many of the people come to me, says this piece make me homesick, missing the field of China, because they, after Nixon opened the door of China was Mao, and the BSO as one of the first bridging group of Western cultures went to China, of course, and many of those members still remember those trips. And every concert was 10,000 people always in Beijing, and play this piece really make them feel they want to go back to the field, rice field, which is very touching to me. Yeah.
Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. From Nashville, Tennessee, Jody is calling in. Hi, Jody.
Good morning. I just want to tell the two gentlemen I'm a huge fan of Crouching Tiger soundtrack, and I had to pull over listening to the duet between the woman singer and Yo-Yo. I'm just crying. I'm on my way to work, and I can't stop crying. It's so beautiful. I just really want to thank you for playing this, Dick, and that's all I wanted to say. It's beautiful.
Jody, thanks for pulling over and not driving while you're... You know, you can't see
crying
so well.
And on the phone, right, thanks.
Thank you, Judy.
Uh-huh.
Jody, it's nice to have your call. And what a thrill to get that kind of reaction, because I'm thinking, just as you were describing the reproduction of the natural sounds, there was almost like a little bonus last night at mm-hmm. one moment when Yo-Yo Ma, you're playing the cello and talking almost bird songs with the violins behind you. And I'd read through the material and had not sort of seen this. Felt like it was just one of those little gifts that comes out.
Also reminds me of Miles Davis, John Coltrane, this kind of tradition of jazz. And because actually a lot of things wasn't specifically on the score, but it was also created during the rehearsal. Like Yo-Yo has a lot of suggestions of improvisation, a lot of things, how to respond to. First of concertmaster, she is great. She's Russian and was a fully engaged music power. And she also had very nice sort of a dialogue, eye contact sounds with you. Very, very nice.
In a way, the score itself is a map, meaning that it's not everything is written down and you have to do it this way in this timing. I think
it's impossible.
Quite a lot of leeway yeah. to improvise and to do lots of things because it's the right thing to do at the moment. And so on the one hand, you have incredible precision. You know, that percussion section of the BSO has to match the percussion section on the video, and it has to be absolutely accurate. And then other moments, you can really let go and do exactly what you think is right for the moment.
Yeah, stone section also, like Richard played stone with this stone quartet, stone trio in the hall, and Richard the stone solo, same as the leaf playing. Actually, it's a map. You have to find your way in your heart.
This is the banging of the stones together.
Yes, it's
right?
A sure rock and roll.
I want to act. There's a story I want to hear from you on that, but we want to just go back to the lines for a minute here. Cambridge, Massachusetts. Peter's calling in. Hi, Peter.
Yes, hello.
Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you very much. I was particularly struck and this took me back to other composers, Japanese composers such as Toro Takemitsu and Toshiro Miyazumi, who also wrote music that kind of harkened back to the theme of the past of culture, where Miyazumi wrote a work called the Nirvana Symphony, where he employs a male chorus to utilize a sense of cosmic chanting. And then Takemitsu, who has written music about gardens and about stars, but it all relates back to this sense of past culture. And I've always been feeling that this music that's earlier than Mr. Dunn's nevertheless still reflects the cultural aspect of things, plus the Silk Road that's being followed by Yo-Yo Ma. And I just wondered what their thoughts were about this. And I'll take my answers off the air, and thanks so much.
Peter, thanks for calling.
I think Tan has a unique way of framing things, so it's and using materials that are presently available to us so that it feels new and right for now. Obviously, there's a long line of people who have always thought about, you know, nature is common to all of us and always common to music. And I think absolutely, toward Takemitsu Izumi, many people, including Bartok and, you know, Saigun in Turkey, and what we're always trying to do in our work and the Silk Road Project and all of this work that people have done before us is to bring new knowledge and old knowledge and make it work together. Because often they don't mix very well.
That's
right. They don't like to be in the same room.
It's also another idea for the combination of the program. First half, we're trying to play one piece by Shostakovich, which is a theme from the village, from people
from Kyrgyzstan.
Kyrgyzstan, and John Cage, season's first ballet score for Merce Cunningham in... And that's very embodies four seasons of nature. And last one, of course, Benjamin Britten's, and it's for a time of a sea. It's all first half. All things is about nature and about people.
And if you want to find out more about all this stuff, you can go on the BSO's online conservatory, which has fabulous explanations.
Actually, that's an important part of this, and it's something that you've done with the Silk Road Project. That there's a big web component to the type of work that you're doing now. I don't know whether or not that gets the attention that it should.
Well, absolutely, because I think the reason we do this work and to do any kind of cultural work is that it's you want to make the moment become a memory that lasts and that's sustainable. And I think any time you work, especially if you go far away and you work with people that mm-hmm. are, you know, as Tan says, farmers or indigenous people, there's only one rule that we have to follow, which is that the work doesn't end when the work is done. It has to last forever, because otherwise, you know, you're just appropriating things. And I learned that early on from my anthropology course with Irvin DeVore, saw a film, Bitter Melons, on the Bushmen and the Kalahari, and then went there many years later to interview many people in, mm-hmm. in the villages. And you get this over and over again that, you know, you don't want to mess with people's lives, but somehow you want to constantly engage so that there's an exchange of knowledge. We gain ancient knowledge and techniques from people, but then maybe there's something that we can give back in return that is a fair trade.
We have, in fact, links on our website at theconnection.org to these different websites. It gives you a fabulous opportunity to explore some of the stories and the history that both Yo-Yo and Tan are talking about. Tan, want you to tell me the Bagua story, though, because, you know, if this is in many ways an example of what was lost that don't want to lose again.
Dick, if you allowed me, before I talk to Bagua Stone Man story,
okay.
I want to talk. When I come to Colombia almost 18 years ago to study a right. doctorate music program, I chose to living with three roommates. They are all anthropologists, doctor students. And I, from there, actually, I was part-timely very, very interested in these things. And lately, going on, as I told Yo-Yo when I was engaged, asked from Yo-Yo, I told Yo-Yo, I said, this Silk Road phenomenon to me, Silk Road, Silk, it's a cocoon things. You cannot see
it. A cocoon, hidden. Yeah.
Cocoon. Right. Yeah.
And that's the Chinese expression, means anything they called Silk Road phenomenon means things related but you cannot see. To me, that's a phenomenon of today. That's how great this conservatory online or the continuing Silk Road or Invisible Road or whatever of your Silk Road project existing greatly for us.
Now, when you had left Hunan, you did go back in 1981 and you met an old man at that time.
Yes. You know, after I didn't hear Western music till I was 19. So after 19, when I get into the conservatory, I was purely occupied by Bach, Beethoven, and Brahms. And I was a little bit down that time. I said, oh, I should know this earlier. After 4 or 5 years study, I suddenly realized I need something more from myself. I went back to the hometown to get more recharged. Then, through my collecting folk song, I met the Stone Man. He is a shaman. He played me very, very ancient stone music.
Banging stones
banging
together.
Banging stones, rubbing with one stone with a chromatic scale. And every time he throw, after playing, he throw all the stones to the ground, always come with a different yin
like a
yang
pattern
patterns.
Yeah.
It's very ghostly, amazing, and shamanistic. And he talks to the nature, talks to stone, talks to river. Basically, what's to him, what's the meaning of a shamanistic culture?
So he's singing as well.
Yeah, like a Siberian. They treat everything a spirit. Microphone's a spirit.
You didn't record him at the time.
Yeah, I was very poor. I'm actually China was by 18... By 1981, China even don't have a small cassette machine at that time. It's true. We the whole conservatory that time only have one huge, it's cost a 150-pound recorder.
Now, you went back in 1999. Did you hope to see the man?
Yes, I want him. Even Yo-Yo and BSO commissioned this piece when I was conceived these things. I went back immediately. I saw the stone man. Immediately, I said, he is my key. I went there. He said, he died. And nobody knows this anymore. This kind of stone, secret stone music. I was so down. I was so empty because I suddenly realized why somebody died and something also died. So I was wondering, is anything could fade him back? That's the whole thing. I also thought about the Aboriginal Australian people, their singing line and sound map. And I said, is that possible to create a map to search in the past? And this is something very, very emotional to me. And I want
so
to find.
So if I can interrupt for a second and say that what you saw on film, on the screen yesterday, there was a person doing all these stones,
the
right?
Stones, yeah.
And guess who that was? It was Tan Dunn. And so in spite of the fact that, you know, he thinks it was lost, obviously the memory was very strong. Obviously the memory inspired him to do a lot of things. And obviously the memory propelled him to actually to learn these fabulous techniques, which now we see not from this man who is gone, but actually it lives in a piece of music and it lives in Tan Dunn's
hands. I'm so glad that the Richard, the percussionist, also did a wonderful job. You see, this is unseeable, invisible connection from that stone man to Richard on Boston on the Boston Symphony stage.
Yeah. Well, except through you. I want to see if we can squeak in another call here from Southbridge, Massachusetts. Now Aaron's on the phone. Hi, Aaron.
Yes, I'm trying to get in a parking spot. Thank you very much.
I just put the flashers on.
Okay. First off, I want to say to Tan Dunn, I learned more about Tiananmen Square from his concerto for cello and percussion than any book could ever teach me, and I just want to say thank you for that. And
that's a snow
that
in June, right? Thank you.
Yes, I heard that about 5 years ago, and that's when I fell in love with your music. And my question is... goes along to Yo-Yo Ma as well, and I perform in schools as well as regular formal concerts, and this connection of bringing history into the music is to me very obvious, and I think to most people it's been very obvious. To Ravel, with bringing in the Spanish culture into classical music, he did this. I wonder though, when composing or performing, and something becomes cliché, how do you stop the cliché from happening in the music, be it a tango or a Chinese dance? And I know you do a lot of movie music and more popular music as well, but when you're doing classical music, how do you take this form that could be very popular and make it your own?
First of all, I do not do many film. You know, I did Crouching Tiger is my first film soundtrack, and then I get an Academy. I was very much overwhelmed. thanks God. But second, I don't. First of all, I think from last night, you see the young people are really, really proud of be in this BSO's concert, and to me. And I was very much sticked to Pierre Boulez, to Messiaen, to all those complexity sort of European 1960s, 70s contemporary music. Especially in my Columbia University years, I wrote violin concertos, trio, chamber music, string quartets, many, many symphony works, specifically even strictly 12-tone and very, very complexity. But suddenly I realized actually I didn't really flow with today's people. Even myself, because I'm eating sushi lunchtime and eating spaghetti dinner and have dessert with all kind of things. And that's the way of today's diverse culture. I think we need to be diverse.
I think cliché is rote, and sound by itself is just a material. But you have to put meaning into it. And if you advocate for the meaning, the sounds that come out never become cliché.
1-800-423-8255. You're listening to The Connection from NPR.
From Boston University, this is WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Coming up on Here and Now at noon.
Connection listeners, recordings don't come any fresher than this one that was recorded just last evening, the world premiere of Tan Dun's The Map, performed by the Boston Symphony Orchestra, featuring the cellist Yo-Yo Ma, and the two gentlemen are with me in the studio. I want to go back, if I can, Yo-Yo, because I sort of feel like I had to cut you off going to the break there in response to what Aaron was saying about how you find a sound that is not cliché. What would you say about how you go in search of certain musical signatures, how you choose the ones that work and the ones that don't?
I think one primary value that I go for is that anything that you do in music has to feel that it's alive. It's alive and it's organic. I think sometimes if you go into a cliche in terms, in the trite sense of it, is that, well, I know this, I can play with a beautiful sound, so I'm going to do it all the time. And if you do anything, even if it's fabulous, fabulous thing all the time, then you're saying it's not very special. So what it's your organizational ability to put a lot of things together. Obviously, it's got to be familiar to people so that not everything is constantly new, because then we can't interpret anything. We can't put it into some kind of frame or value system. So in order to have an aesthetic value system, you actually have to have a kind of a philosophy of how you want to proceed, from which the sound world then emerges, and your choices of sounds and your choices of motivic things, harmonic things, and rhythmic choices show who you are, what you're thinking, what your purpose is. And as an interpreter, I'm speaking compositionally, as from an interpreter's point of view, those are exactly the same choices you have to make. Who is Tan Dun? What is he trying to do? Why is he putting this thing? Is he doing this because he wants to show off, because he can do it, or because he's doing it for a specific purpose? And you're constantly evaluating and reevaluating. And if you go through that process, chances that are that you minimize the possibilities of being trite and cliched.
To me, there's no such kind of a thing, issue at all, because this kind of music was accompanied in my childhood growing for many, many years. And to me, my life has adapted, my attitude to see things very much adapted by this kind of culture, to see things as a spirit. And to me, a leaf is a spirit. The leaf can talk to river, and the river can talk to cloud. And that's what I was trained. That was I want to be a piece of a cloud. And I think if you have this kind of a spirit, and you can be a good composer. To me, the freedom is very, very important if you want to be a composer. And people sometimes thought, why do people in a dictatorship country, they have more freedom than people in the free countries. For example, artists. And we see some very, very good artists in Soviet Union, pre-Soviet, or China, although under high pressure, but they express themselves so freely and with a freedom given by themselves. The ream of sounds that cross the boundary of spirits and cultures. And sometimes, although we are now, we're talking about, you know, America is the most free country. But also sometimes you find your colleagues and your people around you are so afraid of things, so afraid of themselves to cross any things. They are wondering how people are going to rely to them, how people are going to criticize me. Can I, my professor is okay, my audience is okay. I said, the meter is your heart. For me, my meter is my heart. If I myself was being moved by anything I want to do, and I respect myself.
1-800-423-8255 to Sunday River, Maine. Jessica's calling in. Hi, Jessica.
Hi. I have a question for Tan Dun and for Yo-Yo Ma. I want to ask Tan Dun, his inspiration with water, was that originally a part in his concert last night? Because I was there and I didn't see anything with it, and I was wondering if maybe it was taken out.
to stay on the line, Jessica, I'll let Tan answer that first.
Jessica, since I did water concerto and water passion, trying to find a color and rhythms from a water drumming. And so last night I didn't take this aspect. You know, in my village we have so many things actually to do. At least it's enough for this lifetime. So last night we were specifically focused on a stone drumming instead of a water drum there. But meanwhile, you know, working with Yo-Yo is such a great inspiration. It's because, you know, as a composer and a performing artist, be together in a certain point of history after, you know, Beethoven wrote for Kreutzer and Paganini written for a violin. Every step, the instruments of our culture has become a new voice. And the way I was working with Yo-Yo through this piece, further after many pieces we worked together, we really want to make this instrument's ancient classical Western instrument sounds more open, more for the future, and more possibilities, and much more techniques which was not were not discovered before. And in terms, you are able to discover it, you have to have a knowledge of sound lines and sound map. And that's why to discover Silk Road project, to me, is not a cliche or is not a thing. It's a self-meditation of things. Without practice in Silk Road culture, without prayer, meditation, how could you devote years to discover the string techniques and to make a chill-sounding future?
Jessica, did you have a question for Yo-Yo Ma?
Yes, I did. And for Yo-Yo Ma, I want to ask him, the positions that he hit last night were incredible. I have never seen somebody hit positions so high before. Are they actual positions?
I don't know. I don't think they're marked as positions, but that you're actually led by wanting to hear certain sounds. So you kind of go for where the sounds are located on the strings. So I'm not thinking of positions and not even sometimes of pitches, but really more characters than anything else. Because
thank
some
you.
Notes are not marked as specific notes.
Thanks for your call, Jessica.
Thanks,
I want to
Jessica.
Know whether or not the two of you challenge each other to go into different places that you might not, and whether or not you, as a pair, see that as part of the charm or the magic in your collaboration.
Well, I think what I know about Tan is that he has an extraordinary imagination. It's so vibrant. It's the kind of imagination that encompasses anything that you throw at him. He will take in, internalize, and then give you his version of something. And that's really not a challenge. It's a joy. And I think the challenge of working together is actually the challenge of looking at what the work is and how we actually turn something from concept into reality.
But it means you can't be lazy. You can't look at what he might have scored and say, yeah, I can do this. I've done this before.
Isaac Stern said it's really not it's not about the notes. It's what happens in between the notes. And I think Tan is a big one for in between the notes. And I think music is about what's in between the notes as well as the notes themselves. And I think that's a concept in any culture, but it's always a challenge.
You know, I don't know how many people can open your heart in this life except your wife. I think John Cage and Yo-Yo, two people in my music life, are very, very important. They certainly opened the window of my heart. John Cage told me before his death, you know, you want to be a good composer, the most important thing is you have to be brave. And Yo-Yo's things, to see things invisible, that's a big challenge, and that's really, really, I think, important also. So working with Yo-Yo, specifically to visualize this structure, huge structure, and to visualize certain techniques which not existing or existing in certain format, not for cello, but how could develop as a cello's language, color. And that was great. So besides Yo-Yo and John Cage, also many, many things I learned, actually. I always tell young people to learn music not just from music knowledge or music field. What I learned from Chagall, what I learned from Duchamp, what I learned from Kandinsky, I think Andy Warhol. And this is kind of a sophistication, cultural taste. Those people are not cliché at all. Of course, they were criticized as cliché also, but they are wonderful. They have a truth from their spirit.
I was wondering, as I watched and listened last night, whether or not either of you, ever imagine taking a performance such as the one that was put on in Boston last night back to Hunan province, back to the people who were part of the original video. Is that something that you daydream about?
Well, Tan actually talked about it, and,
yeah.
and certainly that certainly is a possibility, and it would be complicated to do. But part of doing that cultural work is to always to get that reference of bring something to both places and see how it reads.
Bring back to them the in many ways the completed work of which their participation
exactly.
is a part.
Yeah, and it may read very well, it may read slightly differently, and that's also part of the analysis of how what this work is, how it affects people, different generations in different places. I certainly would be curious to find out.
Is it a test, though, Tan, when you're putting together something like that? Do you say to yourself, and how would the people who are a part of this view it? Would they see my use of their music and their images as in a respectful way? Is it a test you set for yourself?
Dick, the ritual is not finished yet. And to me, last night is a big ritual. And that's what I see. Carl Jung is a leader of ritual. Bernstein is a ritual, is a leader of ritual. And when I was young, I want to be a leader of ritual. And yesterday, Yo-Yo, you lead people participate, praying, and this kind of ritual will be continued. Someday we will play together with those people, and someday we will bring orchestra to the village to play for them. And when that happened, you see, a ritual also happened in different kind of dimension. And this non-disappearing, continuing journey is a format of invisible. So
we haven't seen the whole map yet, is what you're telling us.
Later is still Silk Road.
I think you're trying to celebrate a lot of different ways of expressing things, and that's when it's that individual And if it's really that good, then it really belongs to everybody.
I'm going to end the program here just so we get one more opportunity to listen to the map. So, Yo-Yo Ma, I want to thank you for coming in and being part of the program today.
Dick, thank you very much. Wonderful to be here.
Tan Dun, wonderful
thank
work.
You.
Thank you for coming in. Connection listeners in the Boston area, Tan Dun and Yo-Yo Ma will be performing The Map with the Boston Symphony Orchestra tonight, tomorrow, and Tuesday night at 8 o'clock in the evening. There might be a ticket or two left. They'll also be playing the same program at Carnegie Hall in New York City on the 10th of March. And if you want to find out a little bit more or look at a little bit more, listen to a little bit more, check out our website. We are at theconnection.org. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection.
Major funding for The Connection is provided by Macromedia, the software company helping to redefine what the web can be. Available on the web at www.macromedia.com. To purchase cassettes and CDs of The Connection, please visit www.theconnection.org or phone 1-800-909-9287.